So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. It is Wednesday night, and it's Wednesday night solo night. That's right. Announced last night, Dale the Truth will not be here tonight, and he will not be here tomorrow night, so you're stuck with me both nights. He had some business he had to take care of, and you know, that's just the way it works in this world, you know. When you've got to do a regular job and do this too, sometimes it conflicts. So Dale will be back next week as usual, and he will get with you guys and catch up then. In the meantime, here in Louisville, we've got a lot going on. As the whole world knows by now, I've filed charges against Jim King. Ed Springsteen here, filing charges against Jim King and for ethics violations to see what a council court is going to do with this. What's really interesting is there has not been any publicity from mainstream media on this at all. Now, I'm not a publicity hound. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I can make the news every day if I want to and interview and be on the local news every day. There's all kinds of things to do. But it's interesting because the very first second that wind was out there that the late Judy Greene and former councilwoman Judy Greene had ethics charges filed against her, it was mainstream local news within the first 24 hours. The same thing happened with Barbara Shanklin. But in the case of Metro Council President Jim King, we have yet to see any reports. So I find it interesting. What that means, I don't know. But it's something you guys might find peculiar as well, so I thought I'd mention it. Moving forward, Terry Miners. Yes, local radio celebrity Terry Miners with WHAS. Had a run-in with a Louisville Metro police officer. I guess it's been about a year ago now. And was pulled over for speeding. The police officer was driving a black Dodge Charger and tried to pull Miners over for speeding, rude and everything else from what I understand. Anyway, Terry Miners, the speeding ticket was dismissed, but Terry Miners went on to his show and, on his daily radio show, Terry is a satirist as always, and he started referring to this officer. This actually happened in March of 2011, so it's been over 2 years ago, but he started referring to this officer as Black Barney. It was a reference to, Barney Fife with the Andy Griffith Show, and the officer was in a black Dodge Charger. Well, so happens the officer also happens to be African-American. So, anyway, the officer decided he was going to sue Terry Miners for slander and all this other stuff, and Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge Mary Shaw dismissed the civil suit today. That was brought against Terry Miners at WHAS Radio, and rightfully so. This was never a racist thing, and even if it was, there is this thing when you get into radio and you do this kind of stuff that any, things that we do on the radio are basically expressions of pure opinion. Anybody that comes to this radio show is listening to my opinion. My opinion is a First Amendment right. That's just the way it is. So Terry didn't do anything wrong here. The judge got it right. The officer, of course, is ticked off, and that's just the way it is. So anyway, congratulations, Terry Miners. I just thought it was interesting that it finally got dismissed, but why it took over 2 years to get to this point is totally beyond me in most cases, except for the fact that I was arrested, and it took 8 months to even get to the dismissal. And once they finally dismissed it because they had no case, then immediately they wanted to mediate and stop any kind of civil proceedings. So it's just interesting. Justice is there, folks, but sometimes it's slow. In the meantime, we have Allison and Lundgren Grimes on the radar. As we know, we've spoken many times. You know, Allison Lundgren Grimes took in $2.5 million in the last quarter in her quest to unseat Mitch McConnell. What's really interesting is it looks like a chunk of that, the largest chunk, came from Hollywood. You guys forgive me for going off there for a split second. I'm battling one heck of a cold. I've got the sneezes, and I apologize. But according to the FEC documents and analysis of these documents that was done by The Hill, at least 66 Hollywood donors. They include producers, agents, lawyers, celebrities, contributed over $250,000 to Allison Lundgren Grimes from July through September. These people include Danny DeVito, Jack Black, John Hamm, Nicolas Cage, Jerry Seinfeld, Leo DiCaprio, you name it, they're there. What's interesting here is that Lundgren Grimes has to go out of Kentucky to get money. She can't get money here. She's going out to the most liberal Hollywood elite to get money to run against Mitch McConnell. And even then, $2.5 million was not a big haul, folks. That's not much money when you're at the beginning of a campaign, because you want to get everybody to load up money now, because you're allowed, you're basically going to be able to contribute twice. You're allowed to load up and contribute to maximum during the primary election. And then after the primary election, even though she has no opponents, she can build that as a war chest. Then you can contribute again during the general election. So when you get these Hollywood actors and stuff who just contributed, they're going to contribute again after the May primary is over, whether she has an opponent or not. So it's really interesting, because we look at this, and it's fascinating, because she is using Hollywood and the Hollywood elite to get her elected to a seat in Kentucky. And I find that really, really interesting. She is spending all her time and resources going after Hollywood Democrats. You know, we also know she went to Martha's Vineyard and all these other places. Why is she not out at the Joe's Barbecue in Hopkinsville or something? You know, I mean, I know it's not our district, but I'm just saying, you know, why are we not out there meeting with the people and doing the grassroots thing and spending time with we the people? Instead, we're going to Hollywood and living the life of a queen to go to Hollywood and Martha's Vineyard, and using Hollywood elitists like Jeffrey Katzenberg, you know, that are out there, and she's using Diane Hamwee, who spearheaded Hillary Clinton's West Coast fundraising efforts. You know, but you got to understand those efforts. Those are presidential politics. You've got to get money from everywhere across the nation, because you're going to represent everybody. But do you think that her spending all of her time with the Hollywood elite and Martha's Vineyard to get money equates to votes in Kentucky? Are we that way? Are we actually going to be bought off by Hollywood money by Allison Lundgren Grimes? It's interesting, because, you know, when you look at all of this, there also could very clearly be potential questions about some of these. For example, Nicolas Cage, he gave the maximum amount to Allison Lundgren Grimes as Nicolas Cage. But if you want to get nitpicky, sometimes you do. I'm not saying I do, but sometimes you do. Sometimes people do. If you want to get nitpicky, Nicolas Cage is not his real name. So why is he listed on a finance report with an assumed identity? Nick Cage's real name is Nicholas Kim Coppola. Nicholas Kim Coppola is his real name, related to Francis Ford Coppola, as everybody knows. So he's listed on his campaign donation as Nicholas Cage. Now, that's his professional name. That's an assumed name that he uses for his professional career. But is it legal? Now, that's nitpicking and putting the thread through the eye of the needle. I totally get that. But it does raise some interesting, fun questions, if you will, you know, for what's going on. And Lundgren Grimes has also went out. She's hired the same fundraising team that helped Elizabeth Warren win in Massachusetts. You know, you've got New York fundraisers Michael Pratt, Colleen Coffey. All of these people, and when you look at what's happening in Kentucky, this is the Hollywood elite liberals. And according to Allison Moore, who's McConnell's spokeswoman, and I've got to give her this, because she made the statement that you couldn't find a collection of people anywhere in America who are more hostile to Kentucky values and conservative principles than the ones on Allison Lunigan Grimes' major donor list. It sure is curious that she spends all her time chatting with professed enemies of coal, Obama enthusiasts, and Hollywood liberals, but can't say a word about what she believes in back in Kentucky. If you are the company you keep, as we so oftentimes hear and we're told, what does this say about Allison Lunigan Grimes? Everybody who is funding her is against coal. They're all about Barack Obama. They are the ultra-left-wing liberal elite in Hollywood. Do these people care or have one clue about Kentucky values? That is what we elect people for. And if this is a race she's going to run, Mitch McConnell is probably a lot safer than most people are giving him credit for. And that's the truth. You know, so I just found that very interesting. Thought you might, too. You know, we've got all kinds of news to get into. Let's move on just a little bit. And I tell you where we're going now. It looks like we have got a great story about a pre-dawn raid on a nationally known journalist. Yep, you heard me right. If you think the Barack Obama administration is not trying to control everything, then you better think again. Because quite frankly, this is crazy. Audrey Hudson, she's a nationally known journalist in Washington with the Washington Times. Her house was raided this morning. August the 6th. Apparently her husband left home, and Audrey Hudson heard her dog barking. And then her husband called her from outside in the driveway and told her that he was in the driveway, the police were there, and to open the door. Now, what makes this so interesting is this was the U.S. Coast Guard, Maryland State Police, and oh yeah, the Department of Homeland Security. They staged a pre-dawn raid under the pretense of looking for unregistered firearms and something called a potato gun. It was a lie. There's no other way around it. It was a sham to get into her house and go through confidential notes and every file in her office. And I tell you, you know, this is very true. Go to foxnews.com and look this story up. It's fascinating. But instead of taking any potato gun, and of course they didn't find any unregistered firearms either, what they did do was they took files with government documents and her personal notes out. She didn't even know they took all of this stuff for a couple of months. So what ultimately happened was while they were going through her house and raiding her house and raiding her personal files and personal notes, one of the agents actually was stupid enough to ask her if she was the same person who had written a series of stories that were critical of the Federal Air Marshal Program in the mid-2000s. There you go. Those stories, and she was. Audrey Hudson is one who did those stories on behalf of the Washington Times. They were very embarrassing to the agency. You know, so of course, since they were embarrassing to the agency, now they've got a pre-dawn raid going. It's fascinating. The search warrant was limited to unregistered firearms and a potato gun. Instead, they decided on their own to take these so-called miscellaneous documents. They walked out with five files. All five had to do with the Federal Air Marshal Service stories. That was it. And then they took her personal notes and some other things. They were personal handwritten notes, et cetera. So they use a lie to go into her house because she was critical of the Federal Air Marshal Program. This is what happens under Barack Obama. Now remember, I just told you that her articles and stories were critical of the Federal Air Marshal Program in the mid-2000s. George Bush was the president in the mid-2000s. Barack Obama did not get sworn in until January of 2009. These stories have been out for quite some time. Why now did they have to use a false pretense to go into a journalist's home, and the only thing they took was the five files that had to do with the Federal Air Marshals Program that was used as notes for some articles that were written a few years ago. It defies logic. But that's what the Department of Homeland Security and all of these other nut job daggone federal agencies that Barack Obama now controls do. It's nothing more than a way to harass we the people and put us into compliance. And she's not alone, and this happens every single day. She just happens to be a journalist and reporter, so she's used to reporting this and putting it out in the open because we know there's backlash for that. I get backlash every single day for what I do on behalf of the citizens of Louisville and what I do around the nation putting stories out. So there is a price to be paid when you stand up. But what sense did it make, other than to put a threat onto somebody, what sense did it make to go after somebody for some stories they had written for a prominent place like the Washington Times from 6 to 8 years ago, long before Barack Obama ever took office? Why? Why? It makes no sense. We're going to talk about it a little bit more when we get back, because there's a whole lot of things that don't make no sense. For you guys that want to call in, the numbers are 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334. You can also, if you're in the live queue right now, hit the little number one on your dial pad, and we'll get you on there as soon as we can, or I will get you on there as soon as I can. And in the meantime, we're going to take our first break of the night. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show.
Impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I tell you what, man, it's getting crazy out there. You know, we've got this story coming with this journalist reporter, and you know, there's something. I mean, this is not unusual for anybody who thinks that we're just kind of picking on Barack Obama. This is common knowledge for anybody who sits out there and is a journalist or does any reporting. This is something that happens every day. You know, I don't know any clear way to make sure everybody knows what's really going on here. But it is fascinating that this continues to go on. I mean, we had Carol Costello who made a statement on air, I believe it was yesterday, you know, about the way the Obama administration does things. Well, here, you can listen to it yourself.
There's a consistency in the Obama administration of going after people who embarrass the administration, but not those that take shots or cover for the administration.
And Will really does have a point, because I felt it firsthand when I was, you know, reporting on the presidential race. I mean, President Obama's people can be quite nasty. They don't like you to say anything bad about their boss, and they're not afraid to use what other means they have at hand to stop you from doing that, including threatening your job.
Folks, that was yesterday by CNN anchor Carol Costello. And for those of you who are keeping score, this is CNN. I mean, Carol Costello isn't Obama-friendly. She loves Barack Obama. The liberals all love Barack Obama. He's the world's savior. And yet she's attacked. A former CNN reporter, Amber Lyon, Emmy Award-winning journalist. Look it up. Amber Lyon, L-Y-O-N. Google it. Emmy Award-winning journalist. Left CNN because she found out that CNN was getting paid by the government to do favorable stories for Barack Obama. Anybody wonder why CNN ended up on the bottom of the dirt pile for ratings? Now they're doing this whole 180, trying to convince everybody they're really legit again. Nobody buys it, and we all know better. But what does this say about your president when he's out there telling mainstream media you're going to play ball or else? It's very, very interesting. And now we've got Audrey Hudson for writing stories years ago when George Bush was the president attacking the Federal Air Marshals Program. What does that mean? Does that mean Barack Obama is doing a preemptive strike too? He's going to preemptively strike against somebody who was critical of the Federal Air Marshals Program? What's he got planned for the skies? I don't know. It's an interesting scenario, though, right? It's an interesting scenario. We have to start being vigilant in this country. I can't think of any other way to put that. The people who want to run this country, including Allison Lundig and Grimes, don't care about your values in Kentucky. They don't care about American values. The liberal contingent, the Hollywood elite who are funding these kind of people, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And Atlas Shrugs. Think about it. It is crazy. And if that isn't bad enough, we've got another little situation going on right here. One of the world's largest ATM manufacturers. This name ought to sound really familiar to you, too, and I'll tell you why in a second. Diebold has been indicted for federal prosecutors for bribery and falsification of documents. Diebold, if you recall, is also one of the largest manufacturers of these electronic voting systems that we use. The ones that we know are manipulated and that they are programmed to aid liberals. We know that. We have found the Democrats manipulating this machine. We have proven it over and over. There is video all over the internet showing you as it happens and how it works. Of course, Diebold has been in all kinds of trouble over the last decade or so. This is not the first a criminal or unethical misconduct situation they've been in. But what's really, really interesting here is, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the U.S. attorney for this says that the latest charges are in response to a worldwide pattern of criminal conduct by Diebold. A worldwide pattern of criminal conduct, folks. It goes above and beyond just the U.S. I mean, they're everywhere. They're accused of bribing government officials, falsifying documents in China, for example, Indonesia and Russia, to get these contracts for ATMs in those countries. You know, you look at all of these things. It's pretty interesting. It's a two-count criminal information and deferred prosecution agreement. So what that means is Diabo gets to pay about $50 million in penalties. They're going to pay $23 million to the SEC here in the U.S., and they're going to pay $25 million to the Department of Justice. Of course, Eric Holder is going to get the largest share, right? So, and of course, the deal also says that Diabo is going to implement some internal controls that will be that would include a compliance monitor for at least 18 months. Are you serious? Are you serious? How many of us would get some kind of a deal like that? How many of us would get some kind of a deal like that? Now, here's what really kicks me. Here's what really toasts my butt. And I really want to hear from you guys on this because this is incredible to me. Diabo spent at least $1.75 million in bribes. All right? But nobody is going to go to jail. According to U.S. Attorney Stephen Dettelbach, he says they've got a worldwide pattern of criminal conduct, but because they are a corporation, they're not going to jail. Now, maybe I'm wrong here with what I'm about to say because I am completely puzzled. But because they're a corporation, they can't go to jail. Yet, they're not considered a corporation when they want to buy elections. They're not considered a corporation when they want to buy elections. Think about that. Remember, the U.S. Supreme Court said that corporations are people, too, for the purposes of free speech. Well, if we're going to give you some example of free speech, and we're going to give you recognize you and give you some freedom here with our Bill of Rights, then we should be able to hold you criminally accountable for this. Mayo, you're on the air, my friend.
I was going to say, isn't the mafia a worldwide corporation also?
You got it, my friend. You got it.
You know, so if the U.S. government can prosecute the mafia and, you know, extradite people from around the world to the U.S., then why mm-hmm. can't they expedite or charge whoever the leader was or whoever put their signature on the piece of paper authorizing it?
You know what's really fascinating to me? Remember Enron?
Mm-hmm.
You had Kenny Lay and those guys. Weren't they brought up on
yep.
charges? So why are they yep. allowed to be brought up on charges and the executives of Diabo aren't? That makes no sense.
They make the voting machine.
There you go, because of the elections, because of the politicians. Because it makes no sense to me. You know, the Supreme Court gives corporations the right to interject themselves into our free system of elections by saying that they have a First Amendment right to free speech and the only way they can talk is with their money. Well, they're talking with their money for sure. You know, but how can they justify this kind of behavior? How can they have free speech and be able to talk with their money, but they can't be held criminally liable for bribery? You name it, they're there. Voter fraud?
Well, I mean, if you shout fire in a theater, you can be held liable, you know, if there
sure.
is no fire. I can't remember what that law is called, but then why not they? If they speak incorrectly or illegally
right.
By use of their money, why should they not have to pay the consequences just like, you know, the average John Doe on the street, you know, who gets slapped harder for less?
Oh, sure. And that's what's really fascinating because they've got, you know, in 2010, they settled an SEC fraud suit for $25 million. Now they've got to pay $23 million to the SEC again less than 3 years later. They admitted in 2008 that they had lied about their revenue by about 300% so that they can manipulate stock prices, which is what they paid the fine for in 2010. In 2004, we found out that they were illegally using uncertified hardware and software in the California election system, and we've actually got video of that we put out there online. So, you know, you've got all of these things out there. You know, it boggles the mind to me how in the world these guys are getting away with this. Let me take a set of call, Mayo. You're going to stay live, all right?
All right.
Hang on one second. I'm only taking it because I know who it is. It's Mr. Paul Hollergren. I know you're out on an event with Jimmy Higdon, so I wasn't sure what your time looked like. What can we do for you, sir?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm out in the beautiful community of Fern Creek, outside of an event that is basically introducing Senator Jimmy Higdon to this part of Jefferson County. As you probably know, Kentucky underwent a redistricting process, and in that process, part of Jimmy Higdon's existing district was extended into Jefferson County, and at the same time, the vast majority of Senator Dan Syme's district, which used to be nearly wholly within Jefferson County, is now only a tiny bit in Jefferson County, with the bulk of his district now encompassing Bullitt County. So,
purely by design.
This event tonight, this is, kind of where I am. But, yeah, this is an event out here that apparently is introducing Senator Higdon to certain folks out here. The irony in this event is that most of the people in this event seem to be people who are regulars at these kinds of events. And that's really, really unfortunate because the people of Fern Creek and Southeast Jefferson County really need to learn a little bit about Senator Higdon because Senator Higdon is he's a bit of a political moderate, but at the same time, he doesn't mind going out on a limb on certain issues. So they really need to get to know him a little bit better. Fascinating. Sure. One last thing, Ed, I wanted to mention.
Sure.
There's actually at least one known Democrat insider operative here. Used to be heavily involved with the Jerry Abramson administration. And
so
he
sent
is
the
at this event
plant.
As well.
Yeah, so they sent the Democratic plant. Who is it?
Well, no, I wouldn't call it a plant because everybody in the room knows who he is and they know his background. But so it's not a plant. It's just kind of fascinating to see in a room of mostly Republicans that we've got this real high-profile former Abramson administration operative in here. Just kind of interesting. From my point of view as a registered independent, I find these things to be
Well, give me a name.
Well, the Democrat involved is a guy by the name of Ron Wolf. And
okay.
Ron Wolf, he did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff to help Jerry Abramson get things done when Jerry was the king of Louisville. So,
right.
And I think
Wolf
he has since gone down to Frankfurt. And
okay.
He is I think he's a registered lobbyist now. So Ron is clearly following the money. He's going wherever the money is.
Well, that's nothing new for those types. That's all they ever do. That's nothing new for those types. I find it fascinating, though, that we really didn't have a lot of people show up other than the standard. I'm sure Senator Syme and the regular groupies at these events, they all go there and shake hands and kiss each other's butt. But unfortunately, not many of the citizens who actually are going to be voting and being involved are ever there. And I hate that because Jimmy Higdon is one of the good guys.
And I do too, Ed, because this is where the regular Jane and John Q citizen can ask tough questions and hold these people accountable for what they do,
mm-hmm.
what they don't do.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I just don't think that the organizer of this particular event made a real strong effort to let the regular citizens know about this stuff. And the irony in all of this is that while this might be a Senator Higdon event, this kind of stuff goes on both sides of the aisle all the time.
Oh, sure. Well, that's the way it is. And they don't do a good job trying to get too many people involved because in most cases the handlers are the ones who don't want you to talk to their candidates because they don't want to give them that kind of access. And it's really probably not Jimmy Higdon. This is just the way the game works. And it's kind of sad because, you know, Higdon has done a lot standing up for the voters in Kentucky, especially with independents. He sponsored a bill twice to try to get independents the right to vote in primaries and things like that, the semi-open primary bills. You know, he's also authored, you talk about people that put their butt on the line, Jimmy Higdon also authored a book called The Cornbread Mafia. He outs all of that stuff. That's not very smart to do. There's still a lot of those guys in existence. So, you know, Higdon's not scared to take on the tough stuff. So I find it kind of sad that not many showed up outside the regular, you know, political.
Yeah, the number of regulars here... The number of regulars here is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 50, okay?
Yeah.
So, again, this is a lost opportunity. But, you know, I don't think this is anywhere near as bad as a prominent Democrat that we both know going out to California and raising $2.5 million.
We've actually talked about that.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't get a chance to listen to the first part of that, but yeah, I don't think.
No,
it's
we actually started the show with that. It's pretty fascinating when you look at this that she has to go get the money from all the people who are anti-coal and anti-Kentucky, the Hollywood ultra-left liberals. It's pretty fascinating when you look at that. So, yeah, we talked about that, actually. I thought it was pretty cool. All right.
So
anybody
the
else?
The voters of Kentucky in that race, I'll tell you, I was just having a discussion out here with a regular voter, believe it or not. We've got a choice. We're going to have to choose between the lesser of two evils. But you know, Ed, in choosing the lesser two evils, we're still choosing evil. I wish there were a good third option available. I really, really do.
Hopefully you can talk with Senator Higdon to find a way to make that happen, changing the voting laws, because he is very receptive to trying to equal the playing field. And, I'm actually glad to see that he's representing part of Jefferson County now, because that would make him even more accessible than he has. And that's one thing about Higdon, too. He's always been accessible regardless of where you're from. So, you know, there's a lot of things about Jimmy Higdon I've grown to like over the last few years. Hopefully that will continue now that he's picked up part of part of Jefferson County. So we will see. We will see.
Well,
thanks,
I'll let
Paul,
you go,
for
man.
Go ahead. All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. All right. Mayo, I apologize. I didn't know if Paul was going to call in or not.
I mean, Paul's at an event.
Well, Paul goes
to
these events from time to time.
Out there reporting for you.
Right. Well, he goes to these events from time to time, and every now and then he's got something to tell us. So I knew he was out at an event tonight. I didn't think he was going to call in, so I wanted to make sure I got him in, because I figured he had to let us know something, Ron Wolf of all people. I figured it was Ron Wolf or Ron Wesson. I just wasn't sure which Ron he was going to mention, so I thought it was kind of interesting. But, you know, to get back to what we're talking about, though, we're talking about Diebold and these corporations not being held accountable and not being able to go to jail. You know, you have executive boards. You have CEOs. You have COOs. And they assume all responsibility for the corporations. That's part of your contract anytime you go anywhere. So when you have that in mind, why are we not holding Diebold accountable? I mean, you know, we already know that there's voter fraud involved. We had a Princeton group back in 2006. Princeton computer scientists took a Diebold system and they jumped right into it. Yeah, they jumped right into it and showed how it was manipulated to alter the vote.
Well,
you know, so
there is a documentary, and I maybe you've seen it, or maybe I mentioned it before to you in passing. But a lady, I can't remember her name, is on, you know, HBO, Showtime, one of them, and she showed, excuse me, the Diebold machine. She went behind one of the voter polling places and all the tapes from the machines. Well, by voting law, they're supposed to hang on to those records for, what is it, 6 months?
Something like that, yeah.
And they were just throwing them away, and she was grabbing the trash and throwing it. You know, it wasn't in a dumpster. It was just sitting outside a door. You know, no signs, no trespassing, no nothing. And so she opened them up and started pulling out tapes. And one guy went to throw out another bag and was like, hey, you can't be doing that. She goes, you have to hang on to these. The law states. And he tried wrestling with her. Well, one of the people she had with her, I think, was a sheriff. And he told the guy, you know, dude, you know, you need to step back. This is evidence. And, I tried paying attention to it, and I bring it up just in case maybe you know something more of that story that happened. You know,
actually,
supposedly got into some trouble back then.
Well, and that's
the lady that actually took the machine to Princeton.
They pay fines is what they do. And I think the organization, and I might be wrong with this, folks. If anybody knows, give us a call, let us know, or type it in the chat room. But I think that organization was blackboxvoting.org or something like that. They were the ones who outed all of this Diebold stuff in that documentary. It was pretty fascinating to watch, because I remember watching it. But ultimately, nothing was done. All they did was pay a fine. And, you know, that's the thing, because, you know, Princeton computer scientists, you know, went out and proved how the votes are altered. What you actually input into that computer is changed to whichever way they want it to go. You know, they found that out. George Washington University has did the same thing. You know, we look at all of these things that are adding up, and this is a period, a history of criminal behavior over the last 10 years, primarily, since at least 2004. and nothing is being done. I mean, you know,
well,
they could go ahead.
I mean, you've mentioned fines a few times, and like you and Ed Martin, I can't remember if it was Monday or last week, you know, we're talking about the doctors and the insurance and the, you know, malpractice, if they had to pay and et cetera. And if you have a company that is a multi-billion dollar corporation and the government says, oh, you have to pay a $50,000 fine, well, that's like $5 to you or me. Why is it the average Joe, like you or I, we, you know, making, you know, 35 average whatever a year, you know, we get hit with a $10,000 fine, which is, you know, takes away directly from our family being able to support them, whereas, the suits and ties at, you know, company X only gets slapped on a wrist with a $50,000 or maybe a $500,000 fine. So if you're making, we're rolling $1.2 billion a year, I'll risk keeping profit margins up to, you know, on the 10% chance I might get caught.
Well, sure. And that, and that's the game.
Yeah.
Sure, that's the game. We look at...
Instead of $500,000, $5 million. You get caught for voter fraud, $5 million.
Sure, and that's the game. And, you know, that's the way it works. I mean, it's just like the TARP bailouts. We bailed out the banks, you know, at least $750 billion and even more than that. But you look at somebody like Goldman Sachs, who got a couple hundred billion bucks, and what happened? Now, they've paid all of these fines, but if you add up the total fines that they've paid back, they've only paid less than $1 billion in fines, but they got, what, $150, $200 billion? Of course you take that chance. You're going to get all this free money and pay 5% back. You know, that's a hell of a profit, and that's the way they work it. And
well,
I mean,
only,
for go ahead.
Well, I just started saying not only that, but they also help promote, you know, the bust of the housing bubble by betting. I mean, they bought bonds in that from Fannie Mae, or you know, they take so many mortgages they know are bad, and they put 1,000 of them together, and they sell that as, I can't remember what it's called, but some kind of bond or bill, and Goldman Sachs would buy it. Well, then, instead of, they do a put on one side of the buy and a call on the other side of the buy. So they are betting both sides of the coin and making money.
Oh, naturally.
How is
that
legal when they were the one that bought it? How can a corporation do that?
Well, how is any of it legal? That's the whole thing. How is any of it legal? And, you know, we're talking about stuff that's happened over the last decade. Just last year in 2012, we still had a quarter of the American voters still using these dye bulb machines. And just last year, the Argonne Lab, for those who aren't familiar with the Argonne Lab, it's a lab that's run by the Department of Energy. So this is a White House Department of Energy, okay? They do conduct all kinds of scientific research to meet all the national needs. And they found out that the Diebold AccuVote voting system, could be hacked with about $10.50 in parts and at least an eighth-grade science education. You don't need to know much here, folks. Have to have a couple of parts, and don't need to know much. Any guy who does anything on a computer these days can pull this off. So the Argonne team was able to prove that they didn't even require a modification or reprogramming of the voting machine's source code. All they did was insert a little piece of this electronic thing into the machine, and voila, it did the rest. It changed all the results of the elections depending on what they programmed this little thing to do. That's incredible.
Probably a magnetic strip reader.
Probably was. But that's incredible. You know, we look at all of that, and it's fascinating. You know, and what makes it even funnier, I mean, I hate to even go down this road. We're going to talk a lot about this Obamacare fiasco tomorrow night and Kathleen Sebelius, but we're going to touch on it, I guess, right now, because what's really interesting here is We know we can manipulate the Diebold machines. The government knows they can manipulate the Diebold machines. Department of Energy just proved it last year through the Argonne Labs. And Kathleen Sebelius can't seem to get the Obamacare computer working right. They could take a $10 part. Go ahead.
Well, her interview today when she was asked by the board, and they played it earlier, the section I heard, and they had proof that the Obamacare server could be hacked easily from without, and she refused to let, you know, an independent company come in and do testing. And, you know, the one congressman was saying, "Why, you know, you have you know, hundreds of thousands of people's confidential information on your servers, and if somebody was to hack this, it would be a fake ID. I can't remember what's the criminology term for that. You know, their dream, because they could get everything, addresses, social security, date of birth, you know, et cetera. And she still refused to let the servers be tested. She goes, oh, we have an in-house something, you know, in-house department working on that.
Right.
And, you know, he replied, well, if they're working on it, why isn't it still fixed when, you know, the last hack supposedly was, you know, 3 days ago or something?
Well, it is.
From
it's
the
really
internal memo.
Yeah, you're talking about her testimony from this morning because they uncovered a government memo that told the whole world that. The AP actually put out a document that shows that the administration knew, you know, that there was a big risk, a security risk, for the healthcare.gov website. They knew that there was a risk, so they issued them what's called a temporary security certificate. That's just allowing them to operate until they figure out how to fix the risk. So what you're sitting here is, now, I don't know about you, okay, but we've went through a great deal of trouble over the last few years, including Social Security numbers and everything else, to try to protect people's identity and protect them from identity theft. We know.
No, just like in Kentucky, they took the Social Security number off and gave you a different, used to your social was your driver's license number. Now you have a driver's license number. Now they got the barcode on the back, you know, for the police, for the reader, you know,
So we know that personal privacy is a big concern. We even put together HIPAA laws. Nobody can know your personal history unless you give them a form telling them they can. Your doctor can't even pass your medical history to a specialist that you're seeing without a piece of paper signed by you giving him permission to give it to him. It's that serious. So we have all of this. They know that this is a very high security risk for the healthcare.gov website. They cannot guarantee the personal information is not going to get out. But they go ahead and grant them a temporary security certificate anyway, rather than delay the program to make sure it's operational. So they knew that they were giving identity theft a great, great leap forward, you know, to anybody who goes down that road by using an unsecure website. It's fascinating that this continues going on. These people cannot be that incompetent. They really can. And I tell you another thing from today, too, that really bothers me. You know, when we're going through all her testimony, Sebelius, you know, said on more than one occasion, hold me accountable for the debacle. I'm responsible. And went on to promise that they're going to fix these problems by November the 30th. Well, here's the thing. For the last 2 weeks.
I didn't think
it was
called Sebelius Care.
Yeah. That's a good one. For the last 2 weeks, she's been going around ranting, raving, and screaming that it's everybody else's fault. She's blamed the CGI. She's blamed the Republican Party. She's blamed everybody. But now she says that it's her fault. Hold her responsible and accountable. And then today, it wasn't 5 minutes later, seemingly, today she's out there talking, and the first thing she does is blame Verizon. Then she goes on to say, hold me accountable. Well, it's Verizon's fault that the server failed over the weekend. It's not healthcare.gov. Verizon apparently is the server, and it's their fault because the server went down over the weekend because they had an outage over the weekend. They had an outage again yesterday. You know, so she's talking about all this stuff, and now it's Verizon's fault. The thing is, it's never anybody. It's always somebody else's fault. I mean, she's learned well from Barack Obama. But, you know, here we have Verizon. Now, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I've always admitted that freely. But Verizon has millions of customers every single day that use their website, use their services, their phone services and everything else all go through computer services. Everything is digital now. Everything. Verizon has to deal with millions of customers every day. And these damn people had the system go down the week before it opened up by using just a couple of thousand people to test it. But all of a sudden now it's Verizon's fault. Before it was a Republican fault.
Well, it wasn't even a couple of thousand. At one point it was almost, it was less than 200 people when they were doing the testing phase was crashing
that's
the server. An internal memo got leaked.
Right. You know, so that's really fascinating to me. You know, and then, of course, she gets on. She didn't even know she had a live mic on. And she's being drilled by, you know, by the Republicans at the committee, you know. And she's groaning with the live mic she forgot was on, saying, please don't do this to me. You did it to yourself, Sebelius. I'm sorry. You know, whatever happens, it happens now. You know, she was asked point blank if she would be willing to join Obamacare, and she tried everything she could to roll out of that, and she finally said she would if she didn't have coverage through her workplace. Of course, her workplace is we the people, the taxpaying citizens. So, you know, we've got all of this stuff going on. Everybody's being blamed once again. You know, I don't get this, because if you talk to CGI, CGI did not put together the entire system from beginning to end. CGI was contracted, and they're an insider contractor. Michelle Obama's good friend from Princeton is an executive vice president here. That's how they got this no-bid contract. But they're put together to put different parts of this program out there, and we'll talk about that tomorrow night too, but they're put together to put this part of this program out there, these different parts of this system. Sebelius is responsible to make sure it all flows and works right, and it doesn't get done right. Another failure based on political ties. So, you know, CGI is getting blamed, and in my opinion, rightfully so. You know, they've had problems in everything they've ever done. This is no different. But go ahead.
I was going to say, if you add up the failures, I mean, you got CGI, you got Solyndra, you got, I mean, how many is that now? I mean, what's Obama's batting average, you know, let's say? 100?
Not even that.
You know, .120?
Not even that. I mean, we've got so many stories out there. You know, Obama kept promising the people over and over and over, if you like your coverage, you can keep it. Nothing's going to happen to you. Nothing's going to happen to you. And every one of those people who try to keep their coverage have been canceled by their insurance company to get a rewritten contract that's going to double their premiums or even worse. And we've got one guy here, a small business owner. There's a story we'll talk about tomorrow night. But here's a small business owner who is 59 years old. Him and his wife are 59 years old. His plan was affordable. He doesn't make a lot of money. But because of Obamacare, his insurer told him they had to cancel his policy because of Obamacare, and they tried to give him a new policy, and he has to pay, dig this, he has to pay for pregnancy care because that's included in the policy they're forcing him to take. His wife's 59. Is she going to have a baby?
Well,
I don't think so.
I also heard on the women's side, the women have to pay for just in case they need Viagra.
Right, yeah. So, you know,
somebody mentioned something about some of the stupidity and the way the laws were.
And then remember Sandra Fluke. I mean, think about this. Sandra Fluke, the idiot brainchild who's a whore, and I'll say it outright, she's a whore. She wants to sit here and make a big deal about having to buy her own birth control. All right, Rush Limbaugh got in all kinds of trouble over that. Not really, because the advertisers that left were replaced right away at more money. That's how stupid they are. But Rush got in all kinds of trouble calling Sandra Fluke a slut. And she's out there making this big case about how birth control, she shouldn't have to pay $30 a month for birth control. Well, now she's got Obamacare. Her premiums are going to be more than it would for her to buy her own birth control. So, you know, I hope she's happy. You know, it's those kind of people. This is the fallacies of liberalism. I mean, it's crazy to me. But everything is melting down. The Democrats now are wanting to delay the individual mandate. Kathleen Sebelius is proving to be just as inept and incompetent as everybody thought she was. So, you know, and yet, if you notice the argument that the Democrats were making after this so-called government shutdown, which was anything but, they were saying the Republicans shut down the government. You got Ed Schultz out there with NBC being a complete ass to a 23-year veteran on his radio show yesterday. We'll put the YouTube, actually go to Louisville Politics on Facebook. It's already on my page. But, you know, we look at all of these things. These liberals, for the first 2 or 3 days, were screaming about how great the midterm elections were going to be. The Republicans were going to pay a price. The Tea Party is going to pay a price. Now we are, what, less than 2 weeks later? And they're scared to death of the midterm elections, because now every Democrat who stood with Harry Reid in the Senate to stop the daggone Republicans are now screaming for the same thing the Republicans, all they asked for was a delay on the individual mandate for 1 year to meet everybody else. They've already exempted everybody else except the individual mandate. And they asked to delay the individual mandate for 1 year, like Obama had done for everybody else. And the Senate said, that's crazy. It's wrong. You just want to use this to shut down the government. We're not going to do it. Well, guess what? Now these same Democrats are screaming for the same thing that the House Republicans were screaming for. And they're no longer talking about the Republicans and the Tea Party going to lose seats next year, are they? They're scared to death.
No, I mean, a lot of them are backpedaling, and, I mean, some of them have even jumped on board because they didn't realize what it was going to cost, you know, the big part of their voters.
Right.
Until the numbers came out, and you can trace that all the way back to Nancy Pelosi's infamous, you know, you have to pass it to see what's in it.
Right.
I mean, right. Everything, you know, like, you know, what you just said, every person, it seems, or any, you know, company, corporation, they don't blame the person who is involved. They try passing it else on somebody in passing.
Right. Absolutely correct. So that's just fascinating to me how quick they're backtracking. And let's see if the American people are smart enough to realize this when they go to the booth in the midterm elections next year. Mayo, I'm out of time, my friend. I appreciate you joining in. I'm sure we'll probably talk to you tomorrow sometime. All right, thank you so, so much. I appreciate it. Folks, we are out of time, but let me leave you with this. And I'm going to make this real simple for you. There's a great article out at the American Thinker. Go to AmericanThinker.com. And the article's title is Liberalism is Unhappiness, or Unhappyism, I should say. And I've got to say, when you read that, you're really going to think. And here's why. Because it is becoming quite apparent that liberals don't care about freedom. All they care is that you do what they want. It's all a matter of control. I mean, think about these examples. A conservative, if you remember New York, Bloomberg decided he wanted to outlaw the large gulp sodas in a store. If you're a conservative, if you don't want a 40-ounce soda, you don't buy it. It's that simple. You get a smaller one. But if you're a liberal and you don't want a 40-ounce soda, you're too stupid not to buy it. So you got to pass laws so that nobody else can buy it either because you don't want it, so nobody should have to have it. Think about that. If you're a conservative and you don't want to smoke, you just don't buy cigarettes. You don't smoke. If you're a liberal and you don't want to smoke, ban everybody else from smoking. Ban everybody else from smoking because you don't want to smoke. So it's good for you. It's good for them. You know, if a liberal thinks that 20 rounds is too large for a clip to go in their gun, they go buy a 10-round clip. If a liberal has the same thought, they want to start screaming about gun rights and getting rid of the guns. Nobody should be allowed to own a 20-round clip. It really is that simple. And I love the way that this was worded at the American Thinker. You guys have got to go look at that. It's comical as hell. The bottom line is this, folks. It's your country. We continue to see lie after lie after lie. We're continuing to see people like Diebold, corporate greed, corporate corruption. These guys are all allowed off the hook because they have money or they're connected. We've got Kathleen Sebelius, who's dumb as rocks, trying to implement what is the largest socialist program in our history, I believe. And nobody's crying foul. Oh, we are now. Mainstream media is finally starting to do a little bit, but they're only doing it because they have no choice. But you have the choice. Senator Jimmy Higdon was here in Louisville, Jefferson County tonight to meet with his new constituents. And very few showed up. I don't care if you like Jimmy Higdon. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. He is your representative. Doesn't it make sense to get to know the guy that's going to tell the whole world what you're supposed to think based on your behalf? And nobody showed up. That's awful. It really is. It's your future. It's your America. It is what you make it. We, the people, have all the power. We just forgot how to use it. Let's get rid of liberalism. Let's get rid of back to basic freedom in this country and live our lives the way that we choose to live them. As long as we're not harming anybody else, what the hell is wrong with that? That's it for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night. I'll be here on the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. Stepping in for Dale. He won't be back until next week. So enjoy your evening, folks. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7. Take care. Have a great night. Thanks so much for listening.